Merry Christmas, Bethel Church. This is a lot of fun. Well, hey, I didn't know I was going to be up here till about Thursday afternoon. It started to hint that there might be an ice storm coming this way. So Pastor Andy Meath and I were joking around, and he threw the joke out, hey, you want to preach on Sunday? And I thought he was serious. And here we are. They made it to Iowa safely, and they're doing great. And this is just so great to be with you this morning on Christmas. Well, this morning is a special morning. There's not many Christmas days that fall on a Sunday, and the season of Christmas sure is a fun time. I know from my vantage point, this Christmas season has been a lot of fun. It's been great seeing acts of generosity in our community. I know one of our local partners has been working to provide a new home for somebody for Christmas. That was a big deal. It's been fun to partner with them. This week, I had somebody call me, actually last week, and say, hey, some folks at my work want to just give some gifts to people that might not otherwise give gifts. And I had a front row seat to some of our community's greatest moments of generosity. And isn't it awesome how God shows up in just the right ways? You know, the pair of socks that the gift giver didn't know that person really needed, and they were just the right kind and just the right color. And you guys, it was just wonderful this week to see some of your generosity and to be a part of something like Advent in Action, where we're helping our brothers and sisters in Haiti. What a generous season, and what a great season to be in as a church. Well, this morning, I'm going to be using Pastor Andy Veith's notes, and if you'd like to follow along, you can in that brown study guide. He and I agreed over text this morning, anything that I say that's really good, he gets credit for that. Anything that I shouldn't have said, I own it, okay? So that's where we started this morning, and we are going to follow along. We're going to see a pattern here that God has established in the scriptures, and I think this pattern will serve to encourage you on a Christmas morning. The first thing that we're gonna see is God makes a promise. That's the first blank there. And that promise, when it was made, might have been overlooked. But we wanna pause this morning, and we wanna remember that Christmas, though it began in a manger, began in a stable, began in an unsuspecting way, became so much more. And as we see these promises of God, so too those promises of God can become so much more in our lives. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 7, a favorite Christmas passage. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 7, I want you to hear. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to the king Ahaz, and Ahaz has found himself in a terrible predicament. He's a leader of the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has formed alliances, and everyone is coming to destroy him. And God invites him to a moment of trust. He invites him to a moment of humility. He's even going to make a promise to him, but Ahaz misses it, and God has a response. Listen along. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, and he said, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. The prophet to Ahaz. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And then the prophet said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you also weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. When Ahaz put God to the test, God came through with a promise. God promised a deliverer when there seemed to be no hope. The people of Israel had nothing to look forward to. Isaiah had come to them with this bold statement that if you will trust God, God will deliver you. But Ahaz stood in opposition to God's promise. He stood in opposition and he prophesied that there would be a child born of this virgin who would deliver his people. And in the time of Isaiah, it was a localized promise. After this promise was announced, Israel continued to go through its ups and downs for generations. In fact, they were exiled from the land. They were set free later, and they began to rebuild their lives, but it was never like it was in that time. The promise of a young woman who would bear a child was picked up later, 400 years later, by Matthew. And he tells us in his text that in a similar way, the people of Israel, desperate for hope, finding themselves pressed down politically, finding themselves with no hope that would be found in this world, God made a promise that through a young woman, through a virgin, there would come a child who would deliver her. That 400 years between the promise of Isaiah and the time of Jesus is often called a time of silence or a time of darkness. Israel had gone from being a very powerful nation to being a very small tribe. They didn't have much to look to. And it's fascinating how when Matthew writes his account of Jesus, he sees the parallels. He sees political alliances forming, and he sees a king who refuses to submit himself to the God who created him. And he says, in the same way as Jesus is being born, we find ourselves in such desperate need. This nation, who was brought out of captivity in Egypt and led to a land filled with milk and honey, at the time of Isaiah, was in complete despair. At one point, they had had complete freedom to worship God and enjoy their lives, but now their freedom was threatened. To the nation that was troubled, confused, hurting, and oppressed, God said to them, "Do not forget my promise. I will be your deliverer." The people of Israel needed the promise of God as their anchor to get them through another day, another year, and another season. Brothers and sisters, people of God in Fargo in 2016, may you not be like the king of Israel, who when God says, "Here is my promise," he rejects God. He doesn't want to hear the promises, but may you be like the prophet Isaiah and like those of humble spirit at the time of Jesus, whose ears were tuned in and who were listening for the promises of God, who were anchoring their lives to the promises of God. You know, often when we try to illustrate our experiences in life, we use geography to do that. Maybe your house looks like a tornado came through. Maybe you feel like you've been riding in a hurricane of life's events. You know, we come to church and we look like we're all put together, and especially on a holiday, we've dressed up, we've worn our favorite Christmas sweater. The same one that matches Pastor Andy Veitz that he wore at the ugly Christmas sweater party. Maybe that's you. We want to appear like we've got it all put together. But the reality is, life has its ups and downs. It has its valleys and its peaks. It has its seasons of it feeling like an earthquake has shook the foundations of your lives. And I don't know where you are this morning, but I can imagine of a crowd this size that some of you have had your foundations shook recently. I hope for many of you, as you come here this morning, you come with your hearts full, but I recognize for many of us, our hearts are only full because of the grace and love of Jesus. Circumstances don't fill us. Well, this morning, I want to remind you about some promises that God has made for us. I want to remind you that like the promises that God made to the person, to the people of Israel, when he said to them, "This child, King, whether you listen to me or not, this child will deliver you." And he did for a season. Matthew sees the baby Jesus and he says, "This child will deliver you." But not like the child of old. This child will deliver you from your sins. This child will deliver you as no other child can. I want to zoom out for just a minute and rehearse some of the promises of God. If you're taking notes, you might write some of these addresses down. In Psalm 46:1, we see that God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Maybe you need that promise this morning. Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "I've told these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Maybe your world is not marked by peace, but Jesus has promised that there is a peace which surpasses all understanding, and you can experience it, according to John 16:33. Maybe today you need to anchor your soul to that verse. Just a few more. Matthew 11:2, Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have that address wrong. I think it's Matthew 11:28. Maybe you're weary or feeling burdened. Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? For too many of us, our lives are marked and stained with fear. Jesus invites you to a life where you don't have to be afraid of this world. John 6:47, I tell you the truth, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Maybe for some of you, you need to be reminded of God's promise that in Christ there is a greater life to come. This world is not all that God offers. There is more to come. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul is writing and he says, but Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Maybe this morning you feel weak and you need to experience again the power of God in the grace of Jesus Christ, anchoring yourself to his promise. The first part of God's plan is his promise, and the second part of God's plan is his time. So if you're filling in the blank, it's his time. Reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul's writing to this young church. He says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, unborn under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Isn't it curious? When God sent his son, he sent him at just the right time. Paul records for us, he says that in the fullness of time, Christ came. I think if you were Isaiah 700 years later, earlier, writing about this young woman who would be born to birth a child that would deliver Israel temporarily, you were hoping that he was the Messiah who was to come. If you were Malachi writing about the place of Jesus' birth and not knowing that for 400 years God would be silent in a sense, you were longing for Jesus to come. Verse 4 says it was in the fullness of time. It was the perfect time. If it had been 100 years earlier or 1,000 years later, who knows? But we know that in that moment, the text tells us that it was just the right time that he came. Sometimes we might ask, why didn't he come sooner? I don't know that we know fully the answer, but we know that God set it up so that it would be absolutely clear that it was this Jesus who came, who was the Savior of the world. From the time of Eve and Adam and their sin to the time of Jesus gave them plenty of time to long for a Savior who would be the perfect Son of God and pay the perfect sacrifice for their sin. It was undeniable when he came. And yet for so many, they missed it. One of the unique things in Roman history is that there was a gate. There were these doors around the temple of a place called Janus. They were closed during times of peace and open during times of war. And you can go and read in history, and there's debate over the timing of these things. But this time when Jesus came in that space was uniquely marked as a time of peace. So when Jesus comes and he's marked as the Prince of Peace, it's even more reason to believe that he came at the right time. I don't think it was an accident that the people of Rome had developed a transportation system that the world had never seen before. There were roads going to outposts that had never been there before. As Rome conquered, they set up great traveling paths for the message of Jesus to go through. As you study world history, you see that Greek, the language of Greek, had become the language of the people. It was the trade language. And so when Jesus was born and these stories were being told, the empire had been established such that the message would travel far and wide into places that could have never happened up to that moment. It's beautiful. Even the people, the Jewish people, had declared that there would be a Messiah uniquely before the Messiah came. The travel had been set, the language was there, the people were prepared, and in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. You know, God's promises are always delivered just in time. I hope that that list of promises today will serve a similar purpose in your life. It'll remind you that we can anchor our lives and hold tight to his promises because he's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he will accomplish what he began in our lives. That final blank that you see there, it began with a promise. It happened at just the right time. And it happened in God's way. You know, there's so many things about the Messiah coming. I was sharing with Pastor Andy before the service. As we look back through the lens of the New Testament into the Old Testament, we can go, oh, okay, now I get it. I see what you did there, Lord. And so too, how often in our lives, God makes a promise to us that he will be with us, that he will go through those places with us. That if we face the dark night of the soul, we don't face it alone. In the highest high and in the lowest low, when we feel like we're most distant from God, the text is emphatic and experience shows us that God is with us. Emmanuel. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 2 and let you hear again what God has done as only God can and in only his way. Luke chapter 2 is just a little bit past the middle of the Bible, to the right there. I want you to hear with fresh ears how God's plan began to unfold in the birth of Jesus. You know, I think back to, as we heard about from Max Lucado's point of view about Joseph and these kind of things, I don't think Joseph would have ever planned it this way. God made a promise, and in God's timing, it happened, but it was God's plan. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was born of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. You know, as you hear that story, I want you to reflect on this reality, that it was God's timing. It happened just as God had planned it, and that it was for a greater purpose than anyone in that moment could have ever imagined. Nazareth was to Bethlehem about 80 miles away, or about 3 or 4 days' journey. Wasn't that beautiful as you read this story, that the time had come? Paul says, in the fullness of time, this happened. And God's answer to all the people for all time was the gift of his son, Jesus. You know, from our vantage point, as we look back 2,000 years, I don't know about you, but I like to think, how did all those people miss it? I mean, we see later in Jesus' life, he goes viral. You guys know this, right? Like when he starts healing crowds and this kind of thing, everybody knows about him. But at the beginning of his life, as Quirinius calls for a census and as these things happen, you almost look back and you go, how did all these people miss it? I mean, this is the biggest news of time in history. Isaiah after Isaiah after Isaiah passage tell us that there will be one who will come. In fact, if you're on Facebook, I encourage you, visit our page. I posted a list this morning of just 40 of close to 365 prophecies that are fulfilled in Jesus. And yet, when you go back to the story, you see that many were too busy You see that many, and especially those who were religious, were so focused on other things that they missed the baby who was born. But God, by the power of his Spirit, through his Son, revealed himself to some of the most humble people. You remember in the Christmas story, first, he appeared to the shepherds, a lesser class of people, a people that on Sunday morning wouldn't look like they had it all together, and they certainly wouldn't smell like it, but necessary for the economy, necessary for a lot of the religious activity. That's who God revealed himself to. That's who the angels showed up to. As that's happening from a distance, the magi of the East, the people who were stargazers, who were seekers of truth, not believers in this Yahweh God of Judaism, but who were seekers of truth, God began to reveal himself to them. And these are the people that God shows up to. Isn't it interesting that we have these extremes of the most humble people society has, the most strange truth seekers, and then you have this humble occasion where Mary treasures it all in her heart, where the humble find themselves before the Holy One. Isaiah said that this Messiah would be born of a virgin. He said this Messiah would be a great light in chapter 9. He said this Messiah would be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus' mom, a simple, everyday Jewish girl who found favor in the eyes of God, who trusted in God's promise, who set her life in accordance with God's timing and in a plan that only he could make happen. So too Joseph and others. God got his way. God delivered to us 2,000 years ago a Messiah who came. And we see that pattern repeating in the life of Jesus. He said in John 14, chapter 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The birth of Christ was the fulfillment of God's promises. As we look back, we see that as God makes a promise, he will deliver it in his time, and he will do it as only he can. And in Jesus, it was one of the most beautiful things in time and space. Reading from a friend of mine, he wrote, the deliverer of Isaiah 7 would provide the physical and local deliverance of the nation of Judah. But the sign that God is with us in Matthew's gospel is so much more grand, so much more complete, and so much more glorious. God would deliver us not from invading armies, but from a far more deadly enemy, which is our sin. God has sent a deliverer. Today, will you trust him? Will you trust this Jesus who is Emmanuel, who is God with us, just as God promised? Will you trust him, this Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who arrived in just God's time? Friends, may you know the peace of Jesus Christ this Christmas season. May you trust him. Merry Christmas. Will you stand with me as I pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he arrived at just the right time. We thank you for these promises that you've made. God, we thank you that you open the eyes of the blind. You bring life to those of us who are spiritually dead, who are longing to know you. Father, today I pray for those who are with us today, Lord, who find themselves in one of life's valleys. God, would you meet them there today? Would you be their Emmanuel, God, with them? And Father, for all of us, may we know your peace and your presence as we leave today. God, give us a heart to worship you, to live for you, and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen.